Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about rotoballer.com. Win big in 2022 with rotoballer.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use Rotoballer's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 137, recapping your week 25 Fab. Two more weeks to go after this, about 10 more days to go after this one, technically, once the Fab week ends. Lots of fun stuff. There's still some moving and shaking to be done, but you'll see some of the names, especially the first one we talk about. You'll understand the time of the year we're at. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric. My co-host is always on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bubba. Just trying to hold on here the last little bit of the season. Yeah, I mean, still so much can change. So every day is magnified. I was joking before, like, there were so many runs scored today, and I feel like my team doesn't have any of them, which isn't good, but I also didn't have any of the pitchers who gave up the runs. I didn't have any pitchers in the Blue Jays Phillies game, unless Robertson pitched, in which case I would be very sad.
I just looked at the summary of plays. I didn't see his name or the guy giving up runs. It was mainly Gibson and Stripling that gave up the bulk of it. And it's like Gibson, Stripling, Burns, McClanahan. We'll get to Wade Miley in a minute. There's a bunch of guys that people really relied on this week that have, it's only Tuesday and it's already been like, oh boy, like this is going to have some ramifications here. And it's like, we talked about the two start guys. And again, we'll talk about Miley and some other guys, but you were pitching Burns and McClanahan no matter what, and that got ugly quick. And then McClanahan leaves again. Let's just speculate here real quick, Toby, just for fun, because it's pure speculation. So McClanahan left his start early. A was getting roughed up, but he left with a stiff neck injury. Mm-hmm. So he's day-to-day. Obviously, it's Tuesday. You're going to wait to find out more information. But say come Sunday, and he's still day-to-day, Toby. What are you doing with Shane McClanahan?
Well, I think it depends where you're at, you know. It's like so team dependent. I've got a team where I'm like, I'm almost like I wish I could start zeros at this point. In some instances than put in somebody who's a little bit shaky. But it's tough. It's tough. I think you depends what you need. You may need to move on. And I think the thing too is like not only is the person healthy, but are they going to be able to pitch? Is he going to be able to pitch to his full potential? Yep. You know, he's only had two starts since he's come back from injury. I think today was three innings, right?
Yep, three innings.
He went five or four like the time before. So there's a limited ceiling, it seems like. And the Rays, while they certainly need to clinch like where they finish in the playoffs, I think they'll be more concerned about having him for the playoffs. So I would probably be inclined to move on. You know, there's a couple question marks that I held on to, you know, injury wise, but mostly it's in situations where like I have the extra bench spot and the talent level is so far superior that if I can just get like even a week out of the guy that it'll end up, you know.
And the reason why I wanted to ask is you hit on a lot of that there. It's after this next week, we have like a three game week after that or whatever. It ends like on a Wednesday. So even if McClanahan comes back and someone picks him up, what are they getting out of him? Like you said, is he going deep? Is like what you could pick up this weekend, even if it's like a reliever that gets like maybe luckily gets like three outings or something, and then you get him for one or two the following week,
that might add up to more than McClanahan's going to do in the one start you miss. So that's the whole reason I want to bring it up. You're going to have a lot of those kind of questions coming up here, and you cannot be afraid to just get rid of people right now. Like, it's just, it's literally chopping season. What's your team need? And McClanahan might, he's one of the top Cy Young candidates. He probably won't win it, but he's one of the top ones. He's still droppable probably this weekend. So just throwing it out there, unless some crazy news comes out. But right now, it's like they're, like you said, they're going to take it easy with them because they want them for October. They don't care about the next couple weeks. So we'll have to wait and see how that one plays out.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Let's get into Fab. Like we usually do, we recap the online championships, 12-team NFBC leagues. And you know, it is the second to last week or third last, whatever. Not the penultimate one. We're not there yet. But the most added player this week. The most added player this week. Wade Miley in 114 leagues, as high as 248. That's someone that had all their money left. And what I will say is he's made two starts since coming back from the IL before the blow up on Monday. And he's actually pretty decent in those starts. And what made him really good, because I'm usually very skeptical of two-star guys, he was at Miami and at Pittsburgh, two of the best matchups for left-handed pitching you can find in baseball right now. And Wade Miley goes out there, three innings, seven hits, seven runs, only three earned, thank goodness. Walked two, struck out two, gave him a couple home runs. It was brutal, Toby. Like, I'm sitting there in DFS, I was wanting to play. He was like $6,600. I'm like, this is great. They're playing the Marlins. The Marlins can hit broadside of a barn. And implosions took place. Maybe, like, you know, three earned runs, so the defense did not help him at all. But Wade Miley needs to help us out a lot come that Pittsburgh start, or it's going to be Bloodbath City. So what's your thoughts on the addition? Strictly a two-star guy and some of the better matchups he's seen in baseball.
Yeah, I was a adder of Wade Miley this week.
I was with you.
In a 12-teamer, too.
Yep.
But it's kind of a situation where I'm just trying to maximize innings. So I'm going for wins. I don't have a ton of, I mean, I can lose in ratios, but I essentially need to gain so much just to be in the, you know, in the running for winning the league. So but you could see it. I mean, like you mentioned, there was some bad luck there, seven runs, but only three earned. He's Wade Miley. You know, he's going to have that one start in September. That's just an absolute disaster. And this could have been a lot worse. I mean, it didn't help your whip. Certainly it didn't help your ERA, but it could have been worse, but there, you know, he's fine. I mean, like, I can totally see why people would have added him just strictly as a volume play, given the matchups, as you mentioned, that's kind of what it was. You have like essentially a league average pitcher with really good matchups. So you hope you make it out of it. Okay. And there's still possibility, right? He throws six shutout and, you know, we're all talking about how he did fine, you know, for this week. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but it's not pretty, but it happened.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. I was all in too, even in 12 teamers. I'm mainly a 12 team player. And if he was available on 15th, I think I might have got him in barf with us or something. This was strictly, we talk about it like with hitters, like, hey, 8-game week, maximize at bats. This was maximizing innings in, like I said, two phenomenal matchups. Like, it wasn't like we talk about two star guys where it's one pretty good matchup and one like, oh no, he's facing like the Blue Jays in Toronto or something. Like, this was legit, like, he couldn't, and they're both in great at Miami, at, but they weren't even at home in Wrigley. Like, this is the best case scenario. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. Hopefully he rebounds. Like you said, it could have been worse. The fact is only three earned runs was nice. Just cross your fingers and hope he can give you like five or six Ks and maybe a dub against Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh strikes out like 30% of the time versus lefties. So if Wade, the thing is, Wade's got reverse splits. So that's the thing where it's kind of tricky. At least it is, like, in recent years, he's had reverse splits. So you have to, like, kind of keep an eye on that. But that's in the past. We've already made the move. And we'll have to see how this one plays out. But probably a quick drop come next week. Rodolfo Castro of the Pittsburgh Pirates picked up in 69 leagues as high as $19. The Pittsburgh Pirates this week faced Nestor Cortez, and they had Miley and Smiley on the weekend. So Castro, nice left-handed. He can hit lefties pretty well, but overall just been hitting the ball pretty good of late. A guy just to, you know, get the at-bats, see if he can accumulate. Were you in on Rodolfo Castro? He hit a home run today as we speak on Tuesday. So he's been swinging a pretty hot bat.
Yeah, I wasn't. This is definitely a big miss for me. I've had him at different points in the year, but just kind of whiffed, and he's been really good. You know, you look at kind of the metrics across the board, he's definitely been lucky, but 222 plate appearances, 10 home runs, 5 steals. That's fantastic. 11 barrels, though, 10 home runs, now 12 barrels, 11 home runs, I think, after today. So again, a little bit of fortune, but still, I mean, he's playing pretty much every day and he's getting those plate appearances. It's not the best week because they face the Yankees this week, but you know, it's, there are worse situations. He's skipping cold. Not that that's anything dangerous these days, but yeah. So, you know, you look at him next year, it'll be interesting. You know, the O swing has improved. The contact rate's actually gone down, even though the K rate has gone down. So some contact issues still, but you see that power speed combination, ground ball rate is down as well. So some promising movement, some luck involved there for Castro. But at this point in time, you know, you're just hoping it hits.
Ride the hot hand right now and see what happens. And so far, so good with Adolfo Castro. Another pitcher I was looking into pretty heavily this week was Bailey Ober. He was added in 68 leagues, as high as $33. Came back from the IL last week, 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 1 walk, 5K against Cleveland, which is big because Cleveland doesn't strike out a lot. So that was a big move there. Ober is going to keep getting stretched out, but he faces Kansas City this week and then potentially against the White Sox and the Tigers next week, which is a great like final three starts. If you can script, like I know we talked about Miley's script, this is another three pack that's pretty solid for the remainder of the season. So Ober was kind of high on my list. I didn't get him as many places as I liked Toby because it was kind of bargain basement shopping, but I was pretty interested in Bailey Ober, a guy we've liked in the past. We liked in draft season, and now we might get a couple starts of glory to finish out the year.
Yeah, you got to be really pleased if you picked up Ober. I got him in 15 teamers last week in a couple spots. And I think the thing with Ober is, yeah, that schedule that you mentioned. I mean, last week it was the Tigers that he played last week. Was that right?
The Cleveland.
And he's
Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. He had Cleveland last week, pitched well. Now he gets the White Sox, right-hander against the White Sox. And then
next week he gets Detroit.
And Detroit, and then, yeah, KC this week. Thank you for your help with that. you know, and so you got to love that schedule, like kind of going out. So we'll see what he ends up doing. You know, hopefully he makes all those starts, but I'm sure they want him to get a little bit of run here towards the end of the season. He missed so much of the season. Just looking at last week, you know, he was right around his three-year averages. The K rate was up a little bit, swinging strike rate down a little bit. But dude doesn't walk guys, so that's always nice for the whip. And then let's just check out his velocity where it was. It was down considerably, down about a mile plus per hour. So maybe it'll go up with his second start here. Maybe it won't. That's a little bit of an area of concern. But again, at this point in the season, with everybody that you're throwing out there, it's hard to argue with Ober.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. Another guy that's hard to argue, and we've talked about him multiple times on this show throughout the year, is Hunter Green. We know he's electric. We also know he's got control issues. And that's been like the bugaboo. He's either been amazing or he's been giving up home runs and walks. It's been all over the board, but the talent, unarguable. Like the dude is legit good. Return from the IL, well, first do the basics here. Picked up in 62 leagues as high as $100. He returned from the IL, faced St. Louis, which is not the easiest offense to face. 6 innings. 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts. He even had a minus 0.56 FIP, 0.44 xFIP in that start. Mm-hmm. He was just an electric factor. The fact he had 0 walks and 11 Ks versus a very good St. Louis offense that doesn't strike out a ton and works counts was beautiful. Now, I added him where I could. He wasn't in that many leagues. I added him where I could. But I'm also going to put the caveat out there. We've done this dance multiple times this year, Toby. We've talked about it multiple times on the waiver wire. And he could just as easily, and they have Great American Small Park this week. Bless you.
Thank you.
He gets Milwaukee. No one will be shocked if he gives up 3 home runs and walks 5. That's just what Hunter Green does. That's the problem. But at the same time, he could throw another 6 shutout and strike out 11. So I like the move. I like the risk, especially this time of the year. But, like, you know, if you're a first place team, do you take this risk? That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, probably.
Yeah. It could separate you for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on what you need. Obviously, at this point in the season, we're all kind of managing categories and trying to get what we need. Green's really interesting. I mean, you mentioned the home run issue. That's the major piece with him. 1.9 home runs per 9. Even the walk rate, yeah, slightly high, 8.9%. But not kind of outrageous. K minus walk at 21%, K rate close to 30%, 11.43 K per 9. That's phenomenal. 14% swinging strike rate, good in the zone. doesn't really get those chases. I think that's where he can go maybe next level, you know, getting those pitch chases on pitches outside the zone. I think that's going to be really key kind of to his development. And he's still so young, 23, just turned 23. So, I think you run him out there, barring having like the best, pitching ever. And you just kind of hope for it because he can help you out with those Ks. And Milwaukee, you know, outside of facing Garrett Cole, is a pretty tough offense.
On the bright side, yeah. And the bright side is he gets at Pittsburgh next week. So yeah. even if Milwaukee starts, like, just tread water. If anything, just tread water. You don't have to be great. Just tread water. Get to Pittsburgh next week without crushing me, and we'll be totally cool. Like, that's the things you look at this time of year. We've talked about it time and time again, Toby. Like, look at the next week's schedule. Look at those things. It's even more vital. Like, just breaking down these pickups right now makes so much more sense. Like, hey, this guy was still a good move, but then look at the extra you get with this. It's like, oh, wait, this was like definitely worth spending a few more bucks for, things like that. If you had it, not everybody had it, but that's the fun in this one. A guy we talked about last week, you've been in on, is Jose Leclerc, picked up in 58 leagues as high as $170. Since getting his first save on August 14th, he has 6 saves now. He has a 2.16 ERA, 3.31 xFIP, and more importantly to me, a 34% K rate, which is usually not his standard, 10% walk rate, which you do expect, but, you know, 24% K to walk, you can work with that as a closer. You prefer fewer walks, but you can work with that. And he's doing the thing that's always been a problem with him. He's keeping the ball in the ballpark. So he looks really good. Looks to be the guy for the final, like, 2 weeks. I know you were on him last week, so I'm assuming you're all good with this move.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been on the show a couple times already, but yeah, he's been really good. I know, shout out to Rob DiPietro. He's been a fan for a while. Leclerc is, yeah. I mean, there's worse closers to have running out there right now. He's been good.
Yeah. You want to know another guy that's been really good? Elvis frickin' Andrus. He went 2-for-4 again tonight with a double and another stolen base. Like, there's the old joke I talked about with, like, Brandon Marsh recently and some other guys. Change of scenery just does wonders for guys. Like, Joe Adell, go find a new building somewhere. That'd be cool. Elvis Andrus got DFA'd by the A's. The White Sox picked him up and started him on August 19th. He's leading off for them now, by the way, like, over the last, like, 3 weeks, it feels like. But since August 19th, hitting .314 with 6 homers, 6 stolen bases, 19 runs, 21 RBIs. He's doing everything. It's ridiculous. It's awesome because I took him as, like, my third shortstop in every draft and hold I have. So it's glorious. Doesn't mean I'm going to win anything, but it's fun. And honestly, I've said it for a couple weeks now in articles I've written. If he's available, ride it out. Like, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's Elvis Andrus, but ride it out, because even Tim Anderson is like working back to play, but they still don't have a set timetable for him yet. And Andrus has been so good. It's like, you've seen who they play at second base and stuff. Andrus ain't leaving the lineup. So this is interesting right here.
Yeah, for sure. He's been really good. I've got him in one really important league, and it's been a joy to watch. Even today, 2-for-4, another run, steal. Like, he's just been great. It's interesting just looking from a skills perspective. Like, he's got the key combination of ground ball rate going low, you know, relatively low. It's about where it is, like, over the last 3 years, but his hard hit rate has really surged recently. And so he's got kind of the combo of those two things happening at the relatively the same time, which oftentimes results in more power. But, you know, it's also riding the luck wave. You know, his BABIP over the last 15 games is .353, you know, so among the highest that he's had in the last 3 years. And then I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm guessing that his home run per fly ball rate is just, yeah, astronomical. I mean, it's ridiculous. If I were to show this to you, his home run per fly ball rate is 31.3% over the last 15 games. Over the last 3 years, it's 6%. So, again, this is what you're hoping for.
A lot of that was in Oakland, too, so that helps.
Yeah, it was in Oakland.
I'm not saying 31% is still crazy, but I'm just like, you expected a little bump, hopefully.
For sure, for sure. But, and I mean, it's not a criticism necessarily of Andrus or anything like that, but it's just to say, like, this is what you're hoping to catch, right? Yep. This is what lightning in a bottle looks like. Uh-huh. Like, over the course of a full season, will Andrus do this? You know, no. He absolutely won't. Yeah. I guarantee it. Yeah. But, you know, he can put together a run like this, and you just kind of enjoy it while it lasts. You keep running him out there, and he's been fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've picked him up where I could. I have him in DCs. Like I said, he's worth every penny right now. And I wrote him up. He's, like, super low owned still, which blew my mind. So, Like, make that happen. Change that if you're in 12 teams and lower. 15s, he's everywhere because he should be. But make that change wherever you can. We won't spend too much time on this last case. We talked about him a lot last week, but I just wanted to mention Aristides Aquino, the Punisher, picked up in 50 leagues as high as $23. Toby was all in on him last week. Very good call there. Since August 31st, hitting 297 with 5 home runs, 6 doubles, 350 BABIP, but you'd expect that for a guy that hits the ball as hard as he does, almost a 50% hard hit rate. So he's been awesome. 6 games in Great American Small Park this week. Any other thoughts on Aristides Aquino?
Just sadness because I'm going after RBI and home run in one league, and I had a decision between Aquino and Bader, and you know, it seemed like Aquino was the key go-to. I think Bader probably plays 2 out of 3, you know. Aquino's played for the last however many in a row, and then Bader of course gets 3 RBI, you know, today. So just one of those things, but again, decent matchups. He's got the Red Sox this week, and then he's got the Brewers, but the Brewers aren't necessarily the same team. Yeah. And those are all at home. And, you know, so we're talking about second best ballpark probably in all of baseball to be at home on. He's got Connor Siebold tomorrow. He does have Woodruff and Burns, although Burns hasn't been the same guy for a little bit. Nope. Then he's also got Jason Alexander and Josh Lindblom, you know, coming up as well. He's
got a pretty nice schedule next week too.
Yeah. And then next week, yeah, he's got at Pittsburgh for 3 and then at Chicago. Sign me up, baby, for Aristides down the stretch.
The Punisher. It's coming, folks. So yeah, get that where you can. Luis Severino picked up in 47 leagues as high as $25. Supposed to be returning from the IL this week. So it's pure speculation move for everybody out there. It looks like they have him slated to pitch tomorrow, Wednesday, against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a good spot. And if all goes well, he gets Toronto and Baltimore next week. So people looking for lightning in a bottle with Luis Severino. I just don't know what you're going to get from him. He wasn't available anywhere I was had leagues, though.
Yeah, he wasn't really available anywhere that I was, too. I mean, I think the major factor to consider is, you know, do you anticipate he's going to be able to go 5 innings and get that win, you know? And that's going to be tough, but there are a lot worse options to go with. So definitely see why people would roll the dice a little bit and throw him out there. You know, it could definitely be a lot worse.
Definitely. We talked about John Gray last week. He was picked up in 39 leagues this week as high as $35. He made his first start off the IL last week, went 3 2/3 this week. His first start, or I guess it was Sunday, went 4 1/3, 2 runs, 4 K. So they're stretching him out some more. So you're hoping this week he gets back to maybe 5-6 innings if you're lucky, maybe get a couple starts in that range. He's got Cleveland on Thursday or Friday, which is not always the best, as we've talked about, but then at Seattle next week. So not cushy matchups, but not horrible matchups. I could see the upside if he does get stretched out to 5 or 6.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talked about him last week. Really good pitcher, improved skills. You know, he definitely looks like one of the guys who's really kind of picked it up a notch this year. So he'll be interesting next year, given the lack of volume. But, you know, you just hope he gets those 5 innings at some point this season.
No doubt about it. Jonathan Daza got picked up in 38 leagues, as high as $11. This is a guy we used to talk about as a streamable player from time to time. And then he went on the IL. He's returned on September 6th. And he's been swinging it yet again. He's usually not a big power source, but a decent batting average RBI guy. He was hitting second on Tuesday since returning on the 6th, hitting 364, 5 doubles, a home run, and 12 runs scored. That's called padding the roto categories right there. And it helps 7 games in Coors this week. So Daza was one of those that I thought should have been added everywhere you could add him. He got added in 38 leagues, so not everywhere. But he was pretty much any Rocky was on my radar this week.
Yeah, that was definitely when I share my fab. That was definitely one of my strategies, and Daza was on that list. I mean, amazingly, I think he's like one for 13 or something like that, or one for 11 or 1 for 10 so far in the season or in the series, but he's already got 4 runs. He's just hitting into fielder's choices left and right. So again, volume play at Coors, hitting second, playing every single day, helping your batting average. Doesn't really help in home runs or steals. So that's something you got to factor into the equation, but definitely will help in counting categories, and he's already doing that.
No doubt about it. Drew Smyly. Talk about a guy that's quote unquote figuring it out. It's been impressive to watch Drew Smiley added in 35 leagues as high as $51. He's been outside of a hiccup against St. Louis on the third. It's been two earned runs or less in every start since August 6th. So one hiccup. He's been good, and the strikeouts have been there. He gets the start, looks like, this Sunday at Pittsburgh, which is a great matchup to have. So, yeah, Drew Smiley is definitely a guy that should be rostered down the stretch here if you need even strikeouts, let alone potential, like, ratio help, too. He's been that good right now.
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, across the full season, too. I mean, he's been very playable when he starts. In his last five starts, though, you know, around league average and in zone contact, I think where he's been helpful is getting chases on pitches outside the zone. So 39.1%. That's awesome. The K minus walk rate actually isn't that great. 21.6 and 8.1. So like around 13%. But the swinging strike rate's nice at 12.8%. So, you know, just doing well enough to give us, you know, to have us eyeing him in like around 40 of draft champions leagues next year, you know, with that eye for taking over. But over the course of the full year, 3.48 ERA in 103 innings, 89 strikeouts, so less than one strikeout per inning pitched, 14.5% K minus walk, totally mediocrely fine. But that O swing is really nice, you know, getting chases on pitches there. The walk rate seems a little wrong in terms of how high it is over the last little bit because of that chase rate. So again, a really nice season for him, given where he was going, and yeah, a nice guy to be throwing down the stretch.
And like you said in there, he is the perfect draft champions guy. Like, take him in later rounds. He's going to eat up innings when he's out there. He goes through his hot streaks. You roll him out there. Like, he's the old kind of J.A. Happ type. Those guys that you just kind of, they're boring veterans that you love to plug in, and it's a beautiful thing. So with you there, ride him while you can. I've had him in 12-team leagues for a little while. He's been like really, really good. So I enjoy that with him. David Villar for the Gigantes. Again, the Giants have four in Colorado and three in Arizona, which is not a bad situation either. Since getting recalled on the second, he's hitting 280 with four home runs. He went deep again on Tuesday night. It's a guy that had tons of power in the minors. Talked about him when he first got called up and they got demoted. There's a lot of swing and miss in David Villar's game, but there's a ton of power, and he's showcasing it again, like I said, since he got called up. Now that gives him five home runs since September 2nd. That, like, you talk about lightning in a bottle. You give me five home runs from a free agent pickup for just 1 month of baseball in like a 15-team league, you take that in a heartbeat. So, and he still has two more games in Coors, let alone everything else. So he was a great move, and he's not just getting platooned. He's not playing every day, but he's not strictly a righty-lefty thing like it was when he first got called up, which is good to see also.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a really great kind of precipitously dropping ground ball rate, 30.8% since he came back to the bigs, and an increasing hard hit rate at 38.5%. And again, that's a really nice combination. He's got good plate discipline. He's got horrible contact skills, really just god-awful contact skills at about 60% overall contact, 74.4% in-zone contact. So his in-zone contact is worse than league average for overall contact. But, you know, like you mentioned, he's been hitting some home runs, getting the ball to fall in for him. Like, those are all good things to be happening at this point in the season. Yeah, his BABIP's at 343 over the last little bit, you know, slightly above where it normally is. But, you know, with the quality of contact and that low ground ball rate, it's a really nice combo. He does have five home runs on six barrels, you know, six on seven, including today. So there's been a little bit of good luck. But, you know, the Coors for seven, Coors for four games, like, that's definitely worth it just in and of itself.
In itself. 100% on that one. Next one, I started adding this guy last week because I loved digging deeper on him. Brian Bayo picked up in 34 leagues as high as $12. Everyone was pumped when he got brought up earlier this year. Had some hiccups, had some adrenaline things. Looked like a kind of guy that's getting, you know, the light line was a little too strong for him. Back to the minors. Since coming back on August 24th, it's been three earned runs or less, five or more innings, and four or five starts. But more importantly, the strikeouts are back. One start really where the walks were an issue, but 2.84 ERA, 3.4 xFIP. The K to walk is not ideal. I will be 100% honest with that. But I love the adjustments we're already seeing from the guy we saw like in his first three or four starts to this guy. If he keeps making these improvements we're seeing, we're getting glimpses now of of the guy we were hoping we'd get back in like July when he got called up. So I'm willing to take the shot. It was risky this week. He had Cincinnati at Cincinnati and at the Yankees this week. So I understand if people were nervous there. But he had the Yankees last week and looked great because the Yankees outside of Aaron Judge aren't that good right now. So I was willing to take chances on Bayo.
Hey, you say that now. They just put up 9 runs and Giancarlo Stanton hit a walk-off grand slam. So
yeah, they face Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think you're right on. I mean, Bayo, like over his last 5, his in-zone contact's at 80.2%. That's fantastic. O-swing at 34.1%. That's really good. K-rate at 25.2%. Walk percentage at 9.3, a little bit of an area of concern right there, but still a 16% K minus walk and 15 teamers. You know, you're going to take that all day of the week. 14.5% swinging strike rate. I think the issue is the ratios. I actually had him in a 15 teamer and I dropped him this week because I wasn't going to start him this week. And then I think next week, who does he have? He's got at Toronto next week. So I'm not going to throw him in there. The ratios are super tight in that league. Even today, I mean, he pitched pretty well. If you wanted Ks and ERA, he did great, but he also had a 2.0 whip. He gave up 8 hits and 2 walks in 5 innings. You know, so that's just dangerous. It's walking a little bit of the danger line. And, you know, so you can get burned with that, and especially with these matchups. But again, you know, your options are a little bit limited in those deeper leagues. And strikeouts, he's, you know, can't find much better at this point.
That's the biggest thing. Like looking for strikeouts this late in the year, like he's a big strikeout guy, volume, volume, volume in that regard. So I was pretty excited to see that one. We'll see if I kind of don't want him to finish well, even though I added him because I want to get him for value next year in draft season. Because I like you just pointed out, and I was saying, I like the improvements we're seeing. And that's something I think is going to take a step in the right direction. Hayden Wesneski of the Chicago Cubs. He's been really good. In 2 of his 3 starts, 5 innings or more, 1 earned run or less, gave it 3 runs against the Giants. He's got in his 2 good starts, 15 strikeouts over 12 innings. Looks pretty strong there. You look at his minor league numbers, 3.92 ERA, 106 Ks and 110 innings pitched. Gets Pittsburgh this week. Definitely, I think, a streamable option, Toby.
Yeah, for sure. Wesneski is very interesting. He's pitched really well. What kind of stood out to me, honestly, was the bat projection for him. The bat has him at 3.75 ERA with a 1.2 whip, strikeout per innings pitched, which is very unusual for a projection system to have a rookie pitcher that low. But in those 15 and 2/3, you know, he's been super lucky. 0.189 BABIP, 85.4% strand rate, but 27.1% K minus walk rate. You know, it's kind of out of left field though with the 10.1% swinging strike rate. So that's coming down. But close to 40% O swing, you know, in zone contact's really good. So he's kind of checking all the boxes and he's got good matchups, if I remember correctly. He's got at Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati at home, I think. And then
I'm looking at RotoWire. I see at Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia the next 2 weeks.
Philly's the last week. Yeah. So you start him this week and next week and then don't touch him against Philly. You just hope he does okay.
Yep. The Philly team that puts up all the runs. 40 Schwarbombs this year, folks. 40 Schwarbombs. Michael Toglia picked up in 31 leagues as high as $17. Another Rocky, folks. And this one should have been an ad as well. Like we talked about him last week. Very good minor league profile. It's been very hit and miss in the bigs. 31% K rate. He had 2 triples and 3 hits on Monday night. So I gave you a glimmer of what we do know to expect from him. But like I said, a lot of swing and miss. But 7 games in Coors. Giants pitching's atrocious. Like, this is just the perfect storm for all your Rockies bats you could find. They only put up 3 runs on Tuesday, but they put up 7 on Monday. 2 more games to put up probably 20 more, so enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have Toglia on almost every single one of my teams. So yesterday was really nice. Yeah, I also picked up the steal. I mean, he strikes out at a decent clip, 31.3%. His contact rate isn't that awful, though. You know, he's at 81.3% in zone, so about 4% lower than league average, 3-4% lower than league average, and then contact rate, you know, about 6% lower than league average. So the strikeout rate being high is not necessarily a surprise, but low ground ball rate, hitting the ball hard, you know, he's got 4 barrels, 2 home runs, 110.6 max EV, hitting the ball really hard. So yeah, 7 games. I mean, I'll probably drop him after this week. It was like a sign from the heavens. He got outfield eligibility.
Yes, that was huge.
On Sunday, that just really freed him up and made him a lot more valuable, at least on some of my teams this week, where I had some tough decisions to make at corner infield, and he kind of made those easier for me. So shout out to Tolia.
And like we've talked about before, after this week, they have no games in Coors next week. I think maybe three games to wrap up the year. So your Rockies are pretty much losing all value after this week. So Adam, drop them, go from there. Anybody else that really stands out to you? Because like Elias Diaz, that's a Coors play. Dylan Floro, we talked about before, trying to get specs. Jose Suarez, another guy that screwed up a two-star week, but he's been really good. Brandon Marsh is swinging the bat great right now. Anybody else that you'd like to discuss that was picked up? Edward Olivares is back from the IL. He got picked up in 21 leagues. A lot of kind of hit and miss guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, Floro, closer, you know, looks pretty set in that role. Pujols has five lefties this week. So
I picked 700 pools. Get the 700.
Yeah. And he also started today against a righty.
I think they're going to play him every day. I think they want that 700.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So yeah, it's nice there. Duran, you know, looks like he's the closer in Minnesota. At least he's gotten a couple opportunities. Savale, I picked him up a couple places. He's got the two step. He pitched decently well. Yep. Today, I think he only gave up 200 runs in five.
Yep.
Not a lot of Ks, but you know, it's his first start back. Bader coming back from the IL. You know, I picked him up where he was available in 15 teamers. So that's really nice. Those are the main ones. Those are the ones that kind of stand out to me a little bit.
Yeah. And if there's other ones, we'll probably hit on them when we give our fab results from last week. Mm-hmm. So let's get to it, Toby. Like I actually, in certain leagues, not all, I made a lot of moves in some leagues. It was like cutting fat time. So a lot of dollar, $2, $3 moves coming up right now. So what did you do this past week?
Yeah, I did a bunch of stuff. I had a lot of moves. So Brandon Crawford was a major target. You know, he's got the four games at Coors, so that's pretty huge. Probably only playing three of them, but I think he was a $23.5 player for the first half of the week, according to Razzball. So added him, dropped Jose Barrero, added Jonathan Daza, dropped Carl Edwards Jr., added Carlos Santana, dropped Jack Sawinski. That was a huge one yesterday. Added David Robertson, dropped Jimmy Hurgadt.
Yeah, Hurgadt, my God.
Damn, like Hurgadt is the setup man forever.
Yep.
Can't get a save. You move on from him. I had him on every single team. You move on from him, and the next outing, he gets the save.
Yep.
Oh, well. Can't.
I think it was Jenstedt and Erickson on Sunday night. They were talking about Hurgadt, and like I think Jenstedt goes, Phil Nevin has no clue what he's doing over there. Like has zero, like it's over every game. It's a different strategy. And I'm like, yep, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Added Braxton Garrett, dropped Brian Abreu. Garrett, assumed that he was going to take the role of Trevor Rogers against the Nats on Thursday. And that's so far RotoWire has him in there. Added Luis Gonzalez for the four games at Coors, three against a righty. Dropped Lars Nootbaar, who's got a rough schedule coming up. The Cardinals have the fewest games remaining of any team. And then added Yan Gomes, who's been playing a lot and went off on Sunday, but didn't do much on Monday. But he's been playing two out of three pretty consistently. So I have him in there for the seven games. Added Brandon Crawford, dropped Jose Barrero. Added Jonathan Daza, dropped Garrett Cooper. I felt a little sad about this one because Cooper missed Friday and Saturday. And there was some semblance of an injury there, but you just never know. He played Sunday, but I just couldn't trust it. David Robertson, dropped Jorge Lopez. It was a nice run, Jorge. Added Tim Anderson, dropped Lars Nootbaar. This is a league where I have, you know, like I have a pretty good bench. So even with Anderson probably not playing this week or being able to be put in this week, I still added him there. And then added AJ Minter and added Max Stassi, who has been so bad, he grounded into a triple play.
It's crazy watching Stassi struggle because we know the talent's there, and he's so frustrating.
Yeah, they got I think three or four lefties this week, and so that was the perfect storm. Main emphasis there. Let's see, how many do they have? Oh no, they only have the two. Well, that sucks. Anyways, poor management on my end.
got two next week also, so you never know. You're just planning ahead.
Yeah, you won't be on my team next week. I promise you that. Next up, Jake Cave, added Jake Cave, dropped Garrett Cooper, added Carlos Santana, dropped Jose Barrero, added Luis Gonzalez, dropped Nick Martinez. I added Ryan Tepera, dropped Sir Anthony Dominguez, added Austin Voth. Actually, how did Voth pitch today? He was going today, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And I don't Baltimore, I'm trying to think.
I mean, he pitched well because they only gave up three total runs, I think. He didn't get the win, but what did my boy Voth do? Oh, five innings, six hits, three Ks. All right, all right.
That's serviceable. That's serviceable.
Yeah, serviceable. I mean, he does have the game remaining is against the Astros, so that kind of sucks. But
maybe he'll get the stomach flu and get pushed to Monday.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. I went with him just because I'm in a league and you know, there's a decent gap between me and second place. So in order to get first place, I need to luck out and get a ton of random wins. And that didn't happen, but I tried. Next up, we got Brandon Crawford, dropped Tyler O'Neill, added Domingo Acevedo, dropped Ian Kennedy. Oh, my God. Last week for Ian Kennedy was absolutely brutal. Like, he blew a save in his last outing the week before, and it looked like they might move on to somebody else, but there wasn't another save chance, and I was, like, desperate for saves here, so I was like, okay, I'm going to throw him in there one more game. Holy crap. I think he gave up 11 earned runs.
It was brutal. It was
in, like, a little over an inning. I think his ERA was, like, 95, something like that. Like, good God. Added Harrison Bader, dropped Taylor Naquin. Really wish I had Bader in there. Reyes Maranta, I added him. I think he might be the closer.
He's supposed to be the closer
in AZ. Added Alex Call for next week. Dropped Ramon Laureano. The Nats have a good schedule next week. Pretty good schedule. They got seven games. Next week is a weird, weird schedule.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Because there's not a lot of seven game weeks. There's just like a handful of them. And they've got the Braves for three, but then they've got the Phillies
four on the weekend.
Yeah. They've got Falter, Gibson, Syndergaard, and Wheeler. So not the worst setup there. So I kind of added him for next week. And then I added Jake Cave, dropped Lars Nootbaar. Again, with five lefties this week, Nootbaar is kind of unplayable, and they've got five games the week after that. The you Phillies could play him against Pittsburgh.
Sorry, the Phillies, the Nats, and the Orioles are the only seven-game teams next week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, so you can get like a real advantage there. I'm really, no offense to anybody, but I'm really hoping that Tyler Anderson gets blown up here. sorry to everybody who's got Tyler Anderson. This base is loaded. Please. Anyways, now everybody who has Tyler Anderson is going to hate me. My 12 teamer is a fantastic league. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm not winning or anything, but like the last 2 weeks of Fab, this week I picked up eight guys for $1 each. Wade Miley for Trevor Rogers, Brian Bello for Spencer Steer, Aaron Civale for Sir Anthony Dominguez, Joanne Duran for Montero, Floro for Cooper, Tolia for Nootbaar, Daza for Hernandez, Pujols for Friedel.
It's that time of the, and Friedel went deep today too.
Yeah,
The Reds let us down so much last week. It was so frustrating. Really, but it was tough, Joey, really, because it's like they let us down, but it's six more games in Great American Small Park. So I was like torn on – I dropped some and kept them in others. It was like that was a tough one right there.
I mean, you just got to do what you got to do.
I don't judge it at all because I did it like half of them and the other half I kept them because I didn't have a viable replacement. It was very tilting.
Brutal. So the D-backs only scored one and – everything else is going to be unearned from our guy. In TGFBI, added Cody Bellinger, dropped Tyler Naquin, added Ha-Seong Kim, dropped Keston Hira, added Trejo, dropped Suarez, added Domingo Acevedo, dropped Sir Anthony Dominguez, added Aaron Civale, dropped Leody Taveras. This league is kind of, it's coming down to the wire. It's an intense battle. I just moved into first place for the first time, I think all year. Yesterday, it's 119 to 119, a pretty good battle with Andrew Ferdinand, who I think is Raging Randall. So he's got a great team putting up a fight. It's 119, 119. I'm 19th overall. He's 27th. Just, you know, going to go down to the wire. That's a lot of fun. especially with TVGFBI. I mean, you have the side pot, you know, that's still there. But you know, it's kind of nice, like with a relatively low, low suspense, you know, or like, you're, you know, there's pride on the line. So you care a lot. And I've been working that team really hard, but, you know, it's nice to just kind of like enjoy a stretch run a little bit. In Barf added Bailey Ober. I was surprised I was able to get him $4. Dropped Rafael Montero, added Tyler Wells. That did not go well. Dropped Miguel Rojas, but my team is like so good pitching wise that I'm just adding everybody. Added Christian Betancourt, added Albert Pujols, added Harrison Bader, dropped Newt Bar, Sawinski, and Sessa. I know everybody, nobody loved Sessa last week, but he did get the win. And
he did,
zero.
He did get the win. Shut me out for a minute. Yep.
Yeah. But that's it for me this week. Alrighty. That's it. I mean, that's a crap ton of adds and drops.
And my first OC Josh Jung, dropped Nick Prado, added Hunter Green, dropped Donovan Solano, added Aquino, dropped Newt Bar, added Floro, dropped Schreiber, added Ryan Nelson, dropped Reed Detmers. I gave up on Detmers. I moved on from Detmers. So that was a thing. Next OC, I added David VR, drops Donovan Solano. We talked about that last week. That sucked. Gio Urshela, dropped Farmer, added Toglia, dropped Tyler O'Neill, who's on the IL, added the Punisher, dropped Corey Dickerson, added Bayo, dropped Josh Donaldson, added Ryan Nelson, dropped Josh Schreiber, added Oliveras, dropped Nick Prado, added Dylan Floro, dropped Reed Detmers, added Elias Diaz, dropped Carson Kelly. Told you I was making a lot of moves in these leagues. It was literally trim the fat. We're going to do it again this weekend if I have the money to do it. There will be pretty much whatever amount of dollars I have left, it's happening. The other OC added the Punisher, dropped Josh Donaldson, added Ryan Nelson, dropped Nick Martinez. One of my OC qualifiers, added Toglia, dropped Dickerson, added Aquino, dropped Solano, added Bayo, dropped Hergit, added Ryan Nelson, dropped Nico Horner. Barf. Barf, barf, barf. Added Ryan Nelson, dropped Kyle Bradish, added Giovanni Gallegos, dropped AJ Puck. That was just typical, just like just at looking for a reliever for the final week because I had nothing else money-wise that I could have done in that one. And then TGFBI added Jonathan Daza, dropped Corey Dickerson, added Wade Miley, dropped Austin Voth. That's looking bad now. Added Gavin Lux, dropped Josh Donaldson, added Javier Assad, more so for next week than this week, dropped Mitch Keller, added Christian Arroyo, dropped Donovan Solano. So a lot of mixing and matching this week, but you know the Rockies were the top priority, and then some Gigantes if you could, and then fill in the pieces, like a lot of Aquino. I'm still a believer in the Punisher, so let's have some fun with that one as well. All righty, we have one listener question today. One listener question. You guys, I don't blame you. It's late. I get it. But one listener question. Actually, John brought two questions in one. So we got two questions. John Dobos, a good avid listener of the show here. First question, Friedl with the home run tonight. You guys think he's a dynasty asset for 12-teamers next year?
Friedl?
Yeah, it's fringy. Fringy.
Yeah, I'd say fringy in 12-teamers. I don't know if there's anything that really pushes him above. I mean, we talked about him last week. He's got a good approach at the plate, makes a lot of contact, decent amount of pop, decent steals. So maybe he's like a 2010 guy, you know, like if he plays every single day. I'm just not sure. Let's see. How old is he? I mean, that's one of the questions for a lot of these guys, right? Is it like, it's like, who's a part of the future there? You know, so he's 27, you know, and I think Fraley's younger than that, right? Jake Fraley, 24, 25. Oh, no, he's 27 too. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's hard to see it necessarily because I do think Fraley is like just better, but or more dynamic maybe is a better way to put it. But you never know. Could be. Stranger things have happened.
I'm with you. He's very fringy. Guys, it depends on your team and what you got going on. I can see the pros and the cons to keeping Friedl in a 12-teamer. I think he might be replaceable, but it depends on your format and what your team needs and type situation. But there's definitely upside in that one, to say the least. His other question is, are you starting Bryce Elder tomorrow? He's making the spot start for the Braves. Been very good when he gets his spot starts. He's looked very good in the minor leagues. And he gets the Washington Nationals. But before I give you the floor, Toby, I just wanted to bring this up real quick. So I looked at this last night for my DFS show, and I always do like the last 30 days stats against handedness when it comes to certain things. Over the last 30 days, Toby, The Washington Nationals are striking out 19% of the time versus righties, hitting 285 with a 155 ISO and a 114 WRC+. Not lighting the world on fire, but by no means are they a cakewalk, like, for fantasy stats. I would still start Bryce Elder. But I just wanted to point that out to people, that they aren't the pushover we all thought they'd be. They've actually gotten better since they lost Juan Soto. Let's put it that way.
What did they do against lefties? Can you look that up for me? Yeah, Garrett's going for me.
I got it right.
Yeah, I mean, Elder, you could do worse. It depends on the league context always. I mean, he's had two really good starts, but both of the starts that have been decent, I mean, both of the starts that have gotten him above five innings pitched, like, he's only done that once in his first start, and then the two most recent ones, and they're both against Miami. So, which is not to say he can't duplicate that, but I'm just saying, take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. The skills overall for the season aren't great. So yeah, but maybe he discovered something. Let's see. Let's take a look at these last two starts, whether there's anything different that he's doing, so that we can give people their great advice. Or I don't know if it's great advice, but man, it's brutal giving advice like down the stretch here. Or not like brutal, like it's not like you know, challenging, but it's like, you know, you're giving advice for people for one start, you know?
Yeah.
Which is tough.
It's tricky, but like, if you had to pick a streamer for tomorrow, he's probably one of the better streamers. I'll say that much, but it's not like a lock by any means.
Yeah. This makes no sense at all, dude. He has his Z contact is at 98%, which is god awful.
And that can't be.
Strikeout rate is somehow at 33.3%, even though his O swing is below league average, his walk rate is above league average, and his swinging strike rate is well below league average. Like, this guy's going to get torn up tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. You asked what the Nats do versus lefties. Over the last 30 days, 22.5% K rate, 241 average, 142 ISO, 88 WRC+. So not
as okay, good that's lefties, what I like to see.
Not as good versus lefties. So you got, they're still not as bad as I'd expect, but not as good. I'm just impressed, because when the trade with Bell and Soto happened, I expected their numbers to go completely the other way, and they've actually gone down. Like, strikeout rates have gone, like, they're putting the ball in play more. I'm shocked, absolutely shocked with these guys. But I guess it goes to show you, give some young kids a chance to do something, and anything can happen. So we'll see. But all right, Toby, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts, as we have two fab periods to go, one full week of the season after this one wraps up. So, you know, about 2 weeks to go of baseball. About 2 weeks of baseball to go. Any final thoughts as we keep grinding along here?
Good luck. Yes. This is always, it's so nerve-wracking. You're just like trying to hold on, you know, you're just like, oh, come on. That's where I'm at. I'm at the point in the season where I'm just like, end season, end. I don't want any blow-ups. Like, every start is so magnified. Like, I have Shohei in a league, and he's got seven games, and they're pretty juicy matchups. But the thing I need the most is ratios. So do I start Shohei, even though I have god-awful pitching? Or is it like Shohei and Aquino or Giolito and Shohei? And I went with Giolito and Shohei. And I'm nervous. Giolito, he has not been good, but the skills have been okay, and kind of lucked out a little bit, maybe, knock on wood, with him getting pushed to Detroit. He got pushed to Detroit on Friday, I think, from Cleveland on Thursday. And I think that's probably a step up. So we'll see what ends up happening. But it's just stuff like that, right? Where you like don't want to have to do anything, but you know, that could determine your season.
Yep, I'm with you. It's one of those weird ones. And like I said, and you did it too, like, I made a lot of moves, dropped a lot of guys that people might like, why are you dropping them? It was a whole lot of changing things up for what I needed at the time. And depending on the money I have this week, I do it all over again. It's based on maximizing at bats, maximizing innings. It's just, I can't remember what show I was on. It wasn't this one, but it might've been Fantasy Pros or something. I said, I need the feature. Like, there's this golf thing, Fantasy National. When you use the lineup optimizer, you can put like incognito mode where it blacks out all the names. So all you see are stats and matchups.
You said you mentioned this last week.
Oh, so it was on this show. I'm like, I just do that on this, do it for the next 2 weeks. Just do that because it'll, like, obviously you don't want to, like, you know, get rid of Shohei Ohtani and stuff just if he's been struggling, but you get the drift of what I'm trying to say. Like, that's why I want to talk about Shane McClanahan at the beginning of the show. He legit might be a very reasonable drop this Sunday, like, completely reasonable drop. And if people just saw that name, there's going to be so many people that hold that guy going, I can't drop Shane McClanahan. But then I ask you, what's he doing for you for the next 10 days? that what someone else can't do.
What is so, Shane McClanahan?
It's not personal. It's me, not you. That's what you have to tell him. It's me, not you. It's a clean breakup. So that's what make it happen. But
thank you for the memories, Shane.
Yes, thank you for the memories. We will always have the first 5.5 months of the season.
Thank you for the memories. I will not be drafting you in the second round next year.
Because he'll be going in the first. But we'll
I won't be drafting him there either.
No, not a chance. But we'll have fun with all that. We'll be back next week. We'll recap the week in Fab. Not sure if we'll recap the week after. We might do something else because I don't think we need to recap a million relief pitchers. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on that one. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Good luck. If you have any questions, hit us up. Let us know. You can get Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BDNTrick. This is Bubba the Bat Flip, episode 137. Catch you guys next time.